Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. Fucking hell.
This is our, what is this?
This is the bi-monthly conversation among brothers.
Exactly. About
geeky
common interests.
I don't think I'm never going to get right.
Probably not.
Episode 41. September 13th. Sunday, September 13th.
Sunday.
That is correct.
Yeah, man.
We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast.
That was better. Yeah.
I'm still going
to
keep
trying to mess with it and just do it like you just would talk
it.
To a person.
Just
you're
do
fine.
It. Yeah.
All right.
Relax, you two. Okay.
Yeah. Not activate.
We're brothers. We're geeks. We talk about geeky stuff, and we're brothers, so we make fun of each other. That's the show.
Sometimes they are funny. I am funny all the time.
Yeah. Chris is 100% funny.
Almost.
But looks
his
on everything.
Is over 9,000.
His funny is over 9,000.
I've been watching a lot of Twitch, dude. Leave me alone.
Seriously, like that's a Dragon Ball Z reference, right?
I didn't know that actually. I just got it from some of the Twitch streamers that I watch.
I think it was like.
What was the reference? I missed.
Over 9,000.
Over 9,000 is a term, and it's from Dragon Ball Z.
Well,
and
it's in everything now. It's in WoW. It's a
oh yeah.
Well,
it's a common
so
to the universe.
Free. Let's get a little anime nerdy.
Yeah.
So anime, Dragon Ball Z. There's this Frieza guy, and his little cronies have these power indicators. So they look at people, and they can see their power, and you know, like how powerful of a fighter they are is more or less what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they look at Frieza. I think it's Frieza looks at Goku and like Goku is like so powerful and they're like, he's got over 9,000. And it's like, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's the origins of that.
Okay. Over 9,000. Yep.
I've always wondered about that.
There you go.
Yep.
Not really.
Because
knowledge.
He's super powerful.
Knowledge. Bob.
But yeah, that's the thing.
What have you boys been up to?
Patrick and I was actually in Portland. Adrian and I flew up to Portland last weekend,
and I
spent a few days. And Pat and I and Adrian hung out a lot, and I met. Some of Patrick's friends.
That's right.
And we played some games, which we could talk about when we get to
that's
play.
That's right. We did play games.
That's
yes,
nice. That's nice.
But we had it was a really nice little visit. We went to Portland. Adrian and I went to Portland Zoo, and we bummed around downtown. Went to the mecca of all bookstores, Powell's. Spent some money there. I love that place.
I love Powell's, man.
Yeah.
Powell's is awesome. Yes.
I have to plug someone who gave me some. We went to the Portland Street Fair, and there was a guy, you know, selling his stuff, totally unlicensed.
The Saturday Market guy.
Right.
Okay.
He had screen printed geeky t-shirts, and he had screen printed like 7x11, like posters, and you know what? I can't remember his website. Give me one second. I'll be right back. Patrick, fill some air right now about what we did.
We walked around Portland, and we went to all the touristy spots. You know, Voodoo, the Saturday Market, Powell's. They went to go eat food at Screen Door, which is one of the better restaurants, but you have to wait like a billion years. The day he left, we went to Pine State Biscuits, and it was a Sunday morning, and we waited an hour in the line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, but the line was insane.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. The food was fantastic.
Was it worth an hour wait? No.
just to plug the guy, he gave me a little free stuff. I bought a T-shirt from him. It had a cool Firefly design on it, and he gave me a Star Wars poster, and I'm actually, Chris, this is going to be yours. I'm going to give it to you today. His website is outnerdme.com.
Outnerdme.
Check the guy out. Outnerdme.com.
Outnerdme.com.
Yeah, he's a cool little artist. You know, when we were in Eugene last year, we found a cool little artist that we bought.
Funny you should say that. We were straightening up around the house and rearranging as we are wont to do at our house, and we found it had been missing. We found the tube that contained.
Oh, really?
The Sherlock and Firefly posters from the dude that we bought from that was at the Eugene
Street Market.
Yeah. So I got to figure out. Yeah, I got to figure out how to get those framed up. And
that stuff is definitely worthy.
It's cool that like these indie artists who are geeks can, you know, make their
fringe.
Totally. They're making money off of other people's things, but I mean they're using their fun, something they're interested in,
yes,
you know, that is
they're
geeky,
being creative about it,
right? Yep. And they're being creative about it. That's what
cool,
I like.
Original, mm-hmm. Original art that has components of
right.
Unlicensed stuff.
Yep.
I mean, are they? They're not even allowed to like draw something that kind of looks like it.
They're selling it.
They're making money.
Oh, yeah. That's bad.
Yep.
Yeah, but they're not going to come after every little guy, you know.
They are not. They are not. It's the dilemma that the Disneys of the world always have, because it's you don't want to alienate your fan base. You want to promote. But you also want to go after those who are making big money, but the little guys not so much. So
yeah,
it's a.
If this guy was making, like hundreds of thousands of dollars a year selling his art, then they might get a little upset about it. But
yeah, I mean,
this guy's peanuts. I'm sure he's small potatoes.
These artists who do. Who have a website, who have a presence, there's no question that if it's brought to the attention of their lawyers, they're sending out a cease and desist letter.
Oh, for sure.
There's a story I heard, and you know, this is you know, something I heard from Mike at Samurai, I think. The CEO of DC Comics, 1 year at San Diego Comic-Con, walked around Artist Alley, and anytime he saw, like, Batman or Superman, he would, like, hand him a cease and desist letter to like he personally walked around and just like handed people like don't draw characters that belong to DC Comics.
Yeah.
See, that's an uber dick move.
Right.
It is a bit.
Right. Just seems like
all
petty.
All they're actually doing is it's not like these guys are really cutting into your bottom line, dude. You're DC Comics.
Right.
They're just trying to make a little money drawing a character that, you know?
Was cool. So Andrew visited, and you know, like he said, we'll talk about the board games he played later, but we're excited about upcoming TV shows.
It's the end of summer, you know, school's back in session. That means TV's coming back in a big way.
So yes, for sure.
There are many, many shows on the horizon that we're pretty pumped up about.
Pretty pumped up.
I'm going to be completely honest right now. This new show that I'm most excited about is Supergirl. I am I don't know. The ad campaign they're doing for that show is just working on me. It just seems like it's going to be great.
It does look pretty good.
I hope
to watch it. And I kind of want to get like, honestly, I kind of want to just get all the women that I know, like the young girls, because I don't know what it was. I saw something online. They released a video online where the TV show, whoever, you know, the creators of the TV show invited a group of like Girl Scouts or something, or this group of young girls, you know, kind of grade school, middle school age girls to watch the pilot. And then the actress who plays Supergirl, Melissa Benoist, I think is her name, like appeared and like took pictures and everything, and it looked like such like a happy, fun, like girl power event that it totally sold me. That's just sounds to have like a superhero TV show with a female lead like this. I'm really pumped up about it. I think
Melissa Benoist gets this month's really not ugly award.
Oh, yeah. She is a not ugly woman
she
at all.
Is, podcast award.
Yeah, she gets the podcast
the
award.
The podcast award for not ugly. House,
we're definitely going to be watching that show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My fear is they do it right and that they let her be. They don't turn it into this CW.
Well, it's going to have some of that, you know.
But
it's made by the same guys
who
do Flash and Arrow.
And I want her to be authentic, and I want her to be kicking ass, too.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
Well, here's something I noticed about Arrow once Flash, the TV show, came out. Is like Arrow is super snarky and doesn't have a lot of fun with itself most of the time. It's pretty serious. And then when Arrow happened... Or when Flash happened, you could tell it's just like they're just having fun. Everything's like bright, and it's like a different character. It's a different city, so everything's a little, you know, less serious. The character has, you know, he laughs more. There's more humor. There's a lot more comic relief in Flash. And they're definitely taking themselves less seriously. So do you think it'll be more on that end where it'll be, you know, funnier and lighthearted girl show kind of a thing? Or, I mean, they can't go dark with Supergirl. I mean,
I don't think they really, they can.
It doesn't, based upon the preview stuff that I've seen, it doesn't look like it's going to be all that dark. It's going to be, you know, coming of age, figuring out her place in the world kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good.
And yeah, and that'll be good if they explore interesting sort of female and not female issues, and they do that in a creative and interesting way. I'm all in.
When do we get sick of the too many superhero shows? Because now we have Flash and Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, saturation point.
A critical mass is approaching.
Supergirl, Gotham. What's the new
Flash Arrow spinoff, Legends of Tomorrow.
And then on Netflix we got Daredevil. We have the Jessica Jones.
That's another thing. I am pumped for Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones, and then what's the Heroes for Hire one stops. That's called
Power Man and Iron Fist.
And Iron Fist, and then that's going to be like the what's the superhero team that they're all part of?
Defenders.
They're doing like Defenders in their own show too. Like they're all going to have their individual shows, and then they're going to have a Defenders show on Netflix.
I think that if it continues to be quality television, if we get to a point where it just is not good anymore. I mean, because Daredevil was great.
Daredevil was so great.
It was so good, and
it's a fascinating thing to me because. You know, we're square in the middle of the late boomer generation, right? In terms of TV viewers, buying power, stuff like that. And you'd think that it's just fascinating that all these things are cranking out, all the superhero-oriented things are cranking out, and it's really my generation and younger.
Yeah, it is.
But you'd think that they'd be doing more stuff to target people with more disposable income. I guess the economies of all of that. I mean, when Guardians of the Galaxy does almost $1 billion, it's just amazing to me that they figured out that there's disposable income at a younger demographic, or maybe they've figured out the sweet spot of sort of your Patrick and your age group.
Yeah,
you all have some money. You're willing to spend it on this stuff that you grew up watching.
Yeah.
And there's enough of you. It's just it's fascinating because there's not. I'm trying to think of. I guess the other movies that are appealing to the folks of our parents' generation. I mean, there's no real in between, right? It seems to be there's movies for that generation, and then there's superhero movies.
A little bit.
I mean, is that you guys picking up on any of that trend,
I think in terms of television, it's a little more of a. I think for every superhero show, there's two or three, like, you know, police procedurals, which is totally what, you know, that generation focuses on. The CSIs, the NCIS. Right.
Ten years ago, were like super. And I mean, so many of those, like, procedural shows are going on right now still. And they're still popular as hell.
Three to four to one. I mean, NCIS, for all the kind of hype and kind of attention that superhero shows are getting for being so good and appealing to, you know, consistently being as quality as they are.
Well, Gotham's not good,
and we'll talk about that. But there's five cop shows and lawyer shows that you tune in for 42 minutes, and it's the same story every week. There's a case that everyone gets involved in, and they're really strong characters. I mean, I've never watched an episode, but apparently The Good Wife, which is just it's a lawyer show. People love The Good Wife, and it's consistently one of the highest rated shows on TV. But it's a lawyer show. You know, demographic that loves that type of shit. They tune in every
quote
week.
Quote unquote more traditional.
Well, like, exactly. Five years ago, it seemed like that TV show narrative was dead because, you know, everything was a reality show. Everything was
cop dramas. Just leading up to the writer's strike.
Right. Leading up to the writer's strike. And all these shows that we talk about
there's this renaissance of great sort of narrative.
Exactly.
Television.
There's this resurgence of. I think that really started with, like, Battlestar Galactica and Lost. And
for sure.
And then Heroes even had some impact on
that. Heroes Reborn
early
is another
Heroes,
show coming
early
out.
Heroes.
Yeah, the first season
of Heroes was like really good. And people watched that. I mean,
it may actually just have been the first 10 episodes of Heroes being so good. The whole arc, Save the Cheerleader, Save the World, that
was so good.
Is so good.
Yeah,
and they're bringing Heroes Reborn back. So that's another superhero show.
When that premieres?
October or something. I'm looking.
Have you heard anything about that? I haven't heard. What's the premise?
I haven't heard. It continues the story. Apparently, the cheerleader is dead, but it deals with.
Yeah, I never watched like the two.
But there's other.
They went to the third season, right? Like they did a second and a third season of Heroes.
I don't think I watched any of the third.
I didn't watch. I watched very little of the second, and then I didn't watch a lick of the third.
Yeah.
So.
I'll check it out for sure. But
I'll give it a look. I mean,
I like what's his name, the main guy, Chuck, Andrew. I'm blanking.
I know the guy you're talking
Levi. Yeah.
Yeah, Zachary Levi. I think he actually plays kind of a villain role.
Yeah, I think he's hunting them down.
He's like a hunter. He's hunting down these powered people. So
that's cool.
to like assassinate them. Try to control them. He's like, I'm gonna smoke you.
Yeah. And it's like everybody's on the run, which is kind of cool that he's like not the nice guy.
Yeah,
I'm so used to seeing him in Chuck.
Like,
so
yeah. No, that's good.
So we'll see what happens. But I mean, lots of new shows. I mean, now our shows are coming back: Flash and Arrow that we love, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s coming back. I'm excited.
What was the show that you said you're really excited about coming back, Andrew?
Sorry. Coming back?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
the one that you're most
was a spinoff from Flash and Arrow,
right?
And
Hawkman and.
Hawk Girl. It's going to be a weekly kind of hero. And then it has, spoiler alert, the White Canary from Arrow. She's back alive.
She's going to be,
as the Atom.
Well, and spoiler alert, is he dead? Because they sort of killed him. And the preview of the preview of Arrow looks like he's dead in that world.
Everybody thinks he's dead.
Right. I think that he's been miniaturized, and he can't figure out how to get big again. And so he can't tell anybody that he's still alive. I think he's shrunk down to an atom.
That's why I think that the heroes that they chose are for just... It's going to be a time travel show, is what it sounds like. The main...
Oh. Cool. Oh. You guys there? Oh, well. I think we just had like a little internet hiccup. Sorry about that.
Savage.
Who the hell is
Vandal
that?
Vandal Savage. He is a villain in the DC universe. He is
go through the heroes. I think you cut out
Legends
in the middle.
Legends of Tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be Ray Palmer as the Atom.
Yeah.
It's White Canary, who is from Arrow. Sarah Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Hawk Girl, which I don't know anything about her origin story in the show.
Well, in the comics, she's like an alien, and she has these gravity-defying wings that are like And then she has like a magic mace, which
magic
I'm doing in quotes. But she's like tough. She's like a tough human type.
She's like a warrior born.
The comics that she is like eternally connected to Hawkman somehow.
Yeah.
Like they keep getting reborn together.
Yeah, it's like a reincarnation thing.
They're aliens who come to love story.
They're aliens who
like
come
that.
to planet Earth, I think, and they set themselves up as like Egyptian deities.
That's right.
And there's some kind of they get reincarnated together, and they're constantly drawn together. It's like
I wonder how deep into that the show will get. Probably not that deep.
But yeah, no. And the villain in the show is Vandal Savage, who is a DC villain who is an immortal, and he wants to conquer the human race and set up, you know, an empire. He's a megalomaniac type guy.
He's in one of those DC cartoons.
The animated features that they put out.
I can't remember the name of that one, but the one with him is really good. Yeah.
Does he have a villain name?
No, his name is Vandal Savage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got like red hair. And
he assembles the Injustice League, and they take out the Justice League one by one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to launch some doomsday device to like annihilate the human race on Earth.
Is he like a competitor to Luthor?
But he's like a superpowered human.
Yeah, he's got his own juice.
He's like a Neanderthal. He was like the first. Yeah, he is
he's like an immortal.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
I need to do a little more research on
that. Yeah, so they're going deep with their Legends of Tomorrow kind of casting and roles.
I don't know.
We'll see what happens. I'm going to give it a look. I mean, I'll always give it a chance, but it's the same people who do Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl, so.
Yeah.
Vandal Savage powers are immortality, super physical attributes, genius level intellect, excellent combat skills, schooled in millennia of history and warfare and science.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Wow, sounds pretty badass. Awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But all these shows are coming back, and I mean,
Did you read about the turn that Gotham is taking?
No. What is the turn? I mean, we all kind of gave up on Gotham last year.
I watched one episode.
Yeah.
But I hate on it even more now because I read that the turn that Gotham is taking is going to focus more on Bruce in season 2. Yeah. So remember back when my criticism of the dumbass show was the showrunner saying that, oh, it's not going to be a superhero show and we're going to do our own thing he's not, you know, we've discussed all of that, why he's completely wrong. Well, he realized that he's completely wrong. And so what are they going to do? They're going to focus more on the Bruce Wayne and his development into Batman. So it's going to be this kid.
What do we call it?
Baby Batman becoming, you know, like this crime solver and detective. It boggles my mind.
That just sounds terrible.
So terrible.
This week
so terrible.
On Baby Batman.
Exactly.
He trains to become Batman. You've seen him in the movies.
If I was
Batman, all of the villains, they're introducing all of the villains that are in that world. It's like, wait a second. You don't even understand.
Yeah.
What this Batman world is about. Anyway, I will not be watching Gotham.
No.
Oh, God. Wow. I hope I'd
be pissed.
Well, I think I gave
it a shot because of him.
Right.
And I mean, he's totally underserved as Jim Gordon. Jim Gordon is such an interesting character, and they could build a show just around him.
And we never see Bruce Wayne.
This would
be watchable.
Bruce
Wayne should have been the MacGuffin of the show. It's like where Bruce exists, you know, but he goes away. And then maybe
there's never a mention of why would ever Bruce Wayne be on Jim Gordon's radar while he's fighting crime in Gotham?
Right.
He's a kid. Yeah, he's rich, but he's a kid.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
When I think about, you know, I think about DC not getting it, and like DC,
no, that's exactly what it,
it's. I mean, DC, like Arrow and Flash and Supergirl, they seem like they're, you know, I haven't seen Supergirl, so I don't know yet, but they seem like they're getting it, you know.
Yes.
But on this Fox channel, it's like the showrunners are off, or they just don't understand what the show should be, you know?
Yeah. Or what the Batman universe actually
Batman's universe is so interesting. And, you know, fantastic. They could have done so much with their story, and you don't even have to mention Batman. I mean,
the endgame. We all know. I mean, we've had the Dark Knight movies. We've had so many versions of Batman.
We don't need more Batman. We need more.
He is so mythic. Right. You don't need to.
To do it right, it's you could tell the story of Gotham, and all you have to do is just the right way to do it is never mention the Waynes, or you tease it. A pinch here and there.
Occasionally see the name Wayne on
and that'll make you that'll make the viewers like so pumped. They'll be like, oh, this week they saw like little baby Batman walk by the screen, you know, there's Bruce and Alfred. What are they doing? And that keeps you interested. It's like, oh, they're off doing their thing. It's like he's like 20 years away from being like the baddest mofo ever.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, and
Jim Gordon is having to deal with the fact that Gotham is descending into this. Right. How is he? Yeah. How does he remain a good
man? He's got so much struggle to deal with. You know.
You could so inform the growth of Batman and Bruce Wayne's approach to his city, right?
Mm-hmm.
By really telling the tale of the city. Why does he feel the way he feels, not just on the killing of his parents, but he's so fixated on sort of, this is my city, I have to take care of my city, the origins of the city, right? And so all you'd have to do is tell that tale, and you could fill in, because everyone watching it knows where Batman ends up, right? And so where Bruce Wayne ends up. And so it would be so awesome if it was done well to just tell that story and the origins of sort of these things, never once having to see baby Batman.
Exactly. Right?
You never would need to do that, but no. They try to do this stupid hybrid thing where it's Bruce Wayne as a kid being a detective. It's, oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's shift gears here.
Let's have a little more fun.
I'm
having fun. I'm having a great time.
That's the things that we're excited about seeing that we're not seeing. So let's talk about the things.
What I just almost saw, boys.
Almost see?
What? I'm not going to say it because it was shocking.
What?
No, my daughter's not feeling well, so she was going to administer some kind of a thing to her, whatever. So anyway, go ahead.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Right. That sounds terrible.
That sounds terrible. Thank you.
That sounds like it'll haunt your dreams.
Andrew.
It might.
Is she going to do like a neti pot or something?
Ugh. I'm not going to say.
Oh, neti pot.
She's embarrassed. It's so funny. You're on the podcast forever.
Oh,
gross. Okay, gross. Andrew, what have you seen, like, show-wise, not, like, what's in front of you, Christopher's?
The Longmire's on Netflix this week. You guys watch Longmire?
I have not watched Longmire.
My God, it's such a great show.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's on the season 4 of Longmire hit Netflix on Thursday.
It was on AMC the first couple
episodes. Yes, first three seasons.
Oh, and then it got dropped, and Netflix picked it up.
It's fantastic.
Sheriff in like rural Montana or something, and like all the
deals. Sheriff rural Montana.
Why doesn't Netflix pick up Firefly? That's what I want to know. I want Firefly to come back in Netflix form.
You know, they're
because
it's 12
years later and they can't, and it'll come so
much
money.
I don't care. Do a season. Do 10 episodes of Firefly on Netflix.
Do 6 episodes of Firefly.
I don't even care. Yeah. Do them.
It would be the highest watched show on Netflix.
There's no question.
Just pay them all what they want.
Joss is going to cost a lot of money.
Joss took a hit. Joss took a hit. He's not A-list anymore, dude, because
Joss do it for free.
Joss would do it for free.
He's made Marvel money.
He has made FU money.
I would totally watch that. Let's get a campaign started to get Firefly on Netflix. Just 10 years later, see what the world has become. And Just give me 10 more episodes. That's all I want.
10 more episodes.
10 more awesome. Episodes of crazy Firefly awesomeness. On
yes.
It's the dream.
That's
it's
the dream. Dream right there.
Yeah.
Andrew, sorry. I cut you off.
Never, ever happen.
Yeah, never. We'll have to live with Serenity. I mean, Serenity was a good movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can see Serenity ties up the story, I think, kind of nicely. I can live with Serenity being the end of the Firefly story. Aww. I'm not going to lie.
Poor Wash.
Spoiler alert.
Seriously.
Hey, it's like 4 years, 10 years later. So.
10 years later.
10 years?
Wash is killed.
Guess what, everyone? Wash. Guess
what?
Holman Washburn. Dies.
Dies. After he saves everyone, he does a heroic kind of, you know.
You don't have to tell the story, dude.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, too much, Andrew. Okay. Too much.
Okay. What have I seen lately?
What do you got?
Are we on scene?
We're on scene, we bro. Okay.
That was a seamless transition.
Totally was.
Yeah.
Well, being inspired by the geeks that I met in Portland, Shane and Gabby, we're talking about Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah,
it's on Netflix. The Star Trek series are on Netflix now. I rewatched the first couple episodes of Star Trek Voyager just for nostalgia's sake.
Yeah,
it never even was my favorite Star Trek series.
No,
but it is good. The first couple episodes are good.
Yeah,
for the simple reason of Catherine Janeway as the captain is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really great character. She's totally different than the other captains. She's very smart and she's very determined. She's got kind of a wry kind of wit and humor to her.
And
she's really good.
And what's great about Voyager is because, you know, because I rewatched that recently too, is there's a camaraderie. Because they're cut off from the Federation, and you don't realize this until you see like the scope of the show is they're all like a family. They have to, you know, care about each other because they're all they have, you know.
Yeah.
And you really start to think about like Janeway, you know, caring about her crew like very differently than how Picard cared about his crew, because he could be the captain that is cut off or like above his crewmen, and Voyager
the dynamic is totally different.
Right, like he never like hung out with them, and even like the last episode of Next Generation, like he admits to wanting to get closer to his crew at the end. He should have done this a lot sooner.
Yeah,
and Voyager is very different like that. It's, you know,
yeah. So I watched the first couple episodes. Because of that, I mean, they're still kind of annoying. You know, the comic relief holographic doctor is a bit of a forced thing.
I love the doctor's the best.
Okay. And kind of
making no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, still Kes, the characters of Kes and Neelix. I don't know. We'll see. I can't remember much about their storylines. I know Kes kind of leaves the show in the second or third season, and then Seven of Nine comes on, and she's just, you know, the sexy Borg that everybody
was just UPN tried to get Star Trek to be sexy for a while there, and
a little bit with Seven of Nine,
exactly with Enterprise, with T'Pol being like this hot Vulcan that was just
hot Vulcan. Insanely hot Vulcan. But yeah, no, I have restarted Star Trek Voyager. I'm not like on a mission to like rewatch all seven seasons by, you know, in a binge by any means. But if, you know, if there's nothing on TV, or if I've got a few, you know, I've got a spare 40 minutes, I'll watch an episode here or there. But
sure.
I watched the first two episodes and I'm enjoying it so far.
Your like something to watch until all the shows come back.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Christopher.
Yeah.
What you got? What you got for scene?
What do I have for scene? Well, I talked about Longmire. Not really this genre of a show, but we've been binge watching the hell out of that.
Did they do the typical Netflix 13 episodes drop at once thing with Longmire?
Ten episodes okay. dropped on Thursday, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not any different than, like, AMC does 10-episode arcs anyways, so.
Yeah. Strike Back is back on Showtime.
Cinemax.
It's Cinemax. Is that right?
Yeah.
Cinemax. It's in like it's the sixth episode or so, I think, in this final season. So I'm watching that.
What's going to be cool about that show is, I mean, the show's ending. They already did all the episodes, and then this is the final season of Strike Back.
Yes.
Both the leads in that show have
NBC
gigs,
shows.
Have gigs on NBC as leads.
On NBC, yeah.
It's cool.
One of them is on a show called The Player, and the other one is on that show that we saw lots of hype for. It's Comic-Con. Called Blind Spot, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to. I'm definitely excited to watch Blind Spot.
I'll check that. Yeah, I'll watch both because I like both of those leads in Strike Back. So we'll see how those shows go. I haven't been watching much of anything else. I haven't been to a movie in a while.
Me neither.
Nothing's been coming out.
The summer movie really season is over for sure. We have nothing until The Martian comes out. So
I think that's right.
Excited about The Martian.
Super excited about The Martian.
There's got to be anyway. Come back to me because I may be blanking on something else.
Okay. All right. I saw Fantastic Four.
You did?
Okay.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Oh man.
about what you'd expect. It just, there was some moments of good filmmaking here. I would really like to know more information because it feels like something went off the rails. Something happened because it just feels like they were on a good track and then there's these scenes or like that just are out of place and there's moments that are unfulfilled and
that's an editing problem.
There's
Patrick?
There is something on the cutting room floor that would make the movie make more sense.
Isn't that often how it is? The case where it's disjointed and they probably filmed a fully realized thing,
right?
And they have to edit it for time, or there's something that just didn't work, and so they leave it out, and that often is the reason why.
It's just there's something really off about. Because
nobody would put up with 2.5 hours of shit,
right? Yeah.
The scene might make a little bit more sense.
Right,
it's still like adding to the terribleness of the movie.
There's a couple of things that just feel rushed or they could have spent a little more time on, or they don't make sense. Like everybody's motivations are kind of strange. That movie is very not put together well. You could tell it's shot well. The acting's great. It looks fantastic. Plastic Man looks kind of weird, but
he's not Plastic Man. He's Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, Mr. Fantastic. He's
more or less the same guy.
No, it's not at all. What about The Thing and the pantless? You know, kind of kind of private parts thing.
Yeah, that was a little weird. And there were some scenes where he's standing next to humans, you know, and he looks very off. Not quite right. For the Fantastic Four and how much money they spent on it, he should look perfect and he doesn't. So,
do you prefer Michael Chiklis Fantastic Four thing?
No. I'm all for
in a rubber
like
suit.
I am.
Is he CG?
He's 100% CG.
Yeah.
And I am a fan of practical effects because of things like that where he's obviously, you know, he just looks wrong and it. The CGI is just not there yet, I guess. I mean, it can be there if you are, you know, Avatar and James Cameron, But for that, it looked off. It looked off. The Human Torch looked cool. The Invisible Woman looked kind of weird too. Her powers were very strange. They could have done a lot more with her. The movie is very. I'm trying to look for the word here where it feels very choppy. Like it's like go and stop. It's
disjointed.
Mm. That's the perfect word. Go and stop. And it's like, okay, now we're doing this, and then we're gonna stop that, and now we're doing this.
That's really in the artistry. That's in the artistry of storytelling, right? If you get the right flow and pacing,
yeah.
It's a good, it can be a quality movie.
Could be. But well, it sounds like it certainly wasn't.
Right. No, it's like these little stories put together and there's no like cohesive narrative. And so that's really, and that could have been because of the editing and something that happened with the production. Cause I mean, from what I've read about it, they did a bunch of reshoots. They had to go back and like fix a bunch of stuff. And the director, Josh Trank, was like locked out of the editing room.
Oh wow!
And not allowed to edit because there was problems with the producers, and he was taken off of the new Star Wars movie because one of the producers on this movie is on the new Star Wars movie, so he was removed because of. Wow. some kind of background, really? Yeah, background backstabbing fighting thing that was happening. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that movie's terrible. I'm glad I saw it so that I know about it, I'm informed about why, but I will watch it
when it's on cable.
You should definitely do that.
It lands on cable, completely I will agree.
Yep. Or, if it's like, if you like want to rent it one time for cheap, that's a good idea too. But it's, there's some weird things happening with that movie. Mm. You can just tell that something went, because there's moments of like, okay, that's a really good scene, or this looks really good, or it's not bad filmmaking. It's just something is not quite making sense. Right.
Okay.
So I saw that. Did you think of anything else, Christopher, or are we moving on?
Nope. Go ahead.
All right. So, Red. Christopher, what do you have? What do you have for Red?
What do I have? I am current on the Star Wars comics, which continue to be outstanding. I am enjoying those very much. If you're not reading those, you should be, because they really capture the spirit, the interesting storytelling, and that world.
To be clear, you're reading the mainline, Leia, Vader, and Lando?
Lando. The Leia comics are finished.
Okay.
That was the weakest of them all, frankly. They didn't give her all that much agency or things to do. The Vader is the best of them all. That Vader comic is fantastic. It's telling a great, interesting story about him and his place in the Empire and what he's doing, and very cool. But the mainline Star Wars comic is also excellent. So
cool.
Those are great, and I highly recommend them. I am working my way through the Batman comics. Really prompted by that panel that we went to at Comic-Con. And so I have all those Batman comics. I'm behind, but I have them all because I've been subscribing to that at Samurai for a long time. So
yeah, no, I've got a stack.
I'm not up to Mr. Bloom, but the last couple comics that they've issued really reveal... they go through the Jim Gordon as Batman and the weird Batman bunny suit. And
Mecca,
And then they get into Mr. Bloom. And so I'm working my way through those so I can catch up to the point where Bloom is introduced. And then 44, which I think comes out this week, is the Bloom's origin story.
Yeah, I've heard Batman 44 is supposed to be fantastic. as a standalone issue.
Yeah, it's a it goes back in time, and it's Batman, and then there's it's Bloom's origin story. It's supposed to be great.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. So I'm working my way through all of those. I finished listening to book 5 of The Expanse.
What's that called?
So I have completed Nemesis Games, it's called.
Okay.
And so I am totally caught up. Well, actually, there's a novella that I haven't listened to, which I'll probably do. That's like 2 hours long. Nemesis Games is, you know, that series is tremendous. And Nemesis Games follows what, in my view, was the weakest of the five books with just a rip-roaring... it's tremendous because just as a broad overview, the crew of the Rocinante kind of splits up.
Uh-huh.
And so... Alex goes to Mars. Amos goes to Earth. Naomi goes to the Belt. Holden stays on Tycho Station. And the book is telling all of their individual stories of what happens and then ultimately brings all of those storylines together toward the end.
Uh-huh.
And it does a great job of sort of getting an individual insight on each of the crew and some of their backstory. It's really, really well done. So
yeah,
that was very good. I continue to read Seven Evas, which is the Stevenson novel about the destruction of the moon and how the Earth would react to the destruction of the moon. Very technical, very detailed, very sort of realistically, holy shit, the surface of the Earth is going to be scorched, and in less than 2 years, how do we respond to the to the potential end of the human race? It's really... really good so far. So that's my read.
Awesome. Yep. Sounds
that's
great.
A lot.
Andrew.
Well, I plowed through book 2 of The Expanse, Caliban's War.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Holy shit, that's a good book. I think I read it. I mean, it's a 600-page book. I read it in 7 days.
Wow.
I read slow, but that book is fantastic.
Yeah.
And Pat, I think you said you're right in the middle of it, right?
I'm right in the middle of it, so don't spoil anything for me.
I won't spoil anything. What is the last thing that happened where you're at? I don't want to give anything away.
I don't want to give anything away for anybody who's going to read it either, so I'll give you enough information so you know. Someone was just fired, if that helps you.
It does make sense. Okay, right. So the captain was fired. Where is the Marine right now?
She is on a ship. She's on a ship with another new character.
She's on a ship with the administrator.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I know exactly where you're at.
We haven't come back to her in a while.
Okay.
So.
Caliban's War is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
It's so good. I am completely in love with the two new characters, Bobby and Avarasala. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Avasarala.
Yeah. He only knows how to say that because
Avasarala.
Yeah.
She is. Easily the best. She's sprinkled in all the books, but oh my god, she's so
well
good.
Apparently she's good. Like she's not in the first book, but she's but she's in the show. She's in the new expansion.
She's in the show.
They're gonna have her in being, you know, part of the universe. Amazing.
It's a great move.
She's a great character. Great.
She's played by a fantastic actress, the Iranian, I can never pronounce her name, Suresh Agadashlu, I think, is her name.
Yeah,
she's a fantastic actress.
She's great. You're going to look her up.
She will do great. Yeah. that character is awesome in the books. I am very she's very interesting. I love the Martian Marine Bobby and her kind of quest throughout the book. And I think she's a great character too. I mean, of course, the main four from the first book still are intimately involved in everything that's going on, but those two characters in particular, I really enjoyed reading. So I have not picked up the third book. The second book ends in a very interesting way with a lot of new avenues to tell stories with. So I am excited for the third book, but I have dove headfoot into The Martian because I want to get that done before the movie comes out because I am super pumped for the movie. The movie looks awesome.
Super pumped.
But I want to get the book read before the movie comes out. So I dove into that. I am not going to read book three of The Expanse until The Martian is – until I'm done with The Martian. So
I think you're going to – I think you're going to blaze through that because The Martian is not as long as –
Oh, no. It's only a couple –
Yeah, it's only like 300 pages, right? I mean, it's not my, it's not that long.
It's not a hefty book.
Yeah. And it moves so quick, right? It's not like a, it's not a difficult read at all. It's very fun and interesting, and it keeps you going. So I think you're going to destroy that. I am, like you said, I am in the middle of Caliban's War. It's really good. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about these new characters, because I love Miller so much. I was sad about what happens to Miller, but I've really grown to enjoy Bobby and Arvasarala.
Christian.
Yeah.
Can I give you a teaser about Miller?
No. Don't say anything about Miller. I'm sure that there's something going
on. That's my teaser about Miller. No, yeah.
That's awesome! That's so awesome!
No! What now?
Oh, that's great.
So Holden is good, and all the stuff that happened on Ganymede was just insane.
Yeah.
That whole part was just crazy fun to read. So I'm plowing through it, but I'm also just enjoying it, so I don't want to like rush it.
Oh no, I don't feel like I rushed it for a second. The pace of the story. It sucks you in, and you just want to keep reading.
That's the best part of these books, I think, is they're for just sure. So intense and fun. I'm excited about The Martian.
I have to highlight one thing in particular. I just thought of this. Sure. There is, and it's really great writing. First of all, the first scene when Bobby, who's a Martian and has lived in like one third. Or one half gravity maybe her whole life, regular Earth gravity her whole life. She arrives on Earth and she's part of this Martian delegation, and she deals with going outside for the first time.
Oh yeah, that scene was so great. Yeah,
and kind of how she panics and then how she adjusts and the reality of how her brain works out what she's dealing with.
They made up like a phobia for people who have grown up in a space station or in a dome their whole lives.
Yeah.
Who have come to Earth because they never experienced like an open sky without like something protecting them.
Exactly.
The writers get all the credit for that because holy shit. I mean, that level of detail is so smart and fun.
It makes so much sense.
Like
that's of course that's how you'd react.
Humans would absolutely be like totally weirded out by that if you grow up in nothing but with a dome over you. Yeah. During a confined space.
Very, very interesting. That moment was very. I was like, what just happened? What?
That was a very interesting, well written moment because it communicates what she's going through very clearly, and you get it. It puts you in that position, and it totally makes sense.
I hope that The Expanse makes exit to season two so that Bobby can be in the show.
That would be a very interesting character to see in season two.
Right. I think I don't think she'll fit into season one because there's so much in book one that they can do.
No, I don't think she'll be in season one at all.
But they should definitely.
6 foot. I mean, she's like 6 foot six, ripped out. Martian
woman,
marine.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, who's of Polynesian descent? Who you know?
Yes,
that would look. She. That's. I can't wait to see
Samoan, right?
Samoan. Yeah, she's Samoan. They have to get you know, but she's apparently she's gorgeous. Like she's not like this brutish. She's just like a giant, but she's a gorgeous buff giant. It'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Gorgeous buff giant.
That's how they all describe her.
That's what I think of you when I think of you, Andrew.
That's what I am, though. Gorgeous buff giant.
Wow. Yeah. All right. That came off the rails. Sure. I'm trying to think if I read anything else. No. Let's move on. Played. Andrew.
I played some board games with Patrick.
Should we bench that conversation until after Chris has played.
Chris, what do you got for played?
Yeah.
What do I have for played? I've been playing the hell out of Diablo 3 in the new patch. Started the Season 4 character when I realized that one of the best new weapons is a season-only weapon, and so I had to start a Season 4 character to try and get that weapon, so I'm leveling that Season 4 character. Also playing my older characters, mainly my monk. Having a great time with that. Rocket League continues to be the freaking best game of the summer by far. I'm playing that. I finally downloaded the 2.0 patch for Destiny. I haven't played hardly any of that, however. I just got in, checked out the changes to the interface. That expansion comes out on Tuesday.
The Taken King.
Wow. That comes out on Tuesday?
Yes.
Wow.
The same day that Forza 6 comes out.
Yeah.
So my money is going to be going towards and time will be going to both of those things.
For sure.
Anything else? No, that's pretty much dominated my played for this past week.
All right.
Couple weeks.
Good.
Are you still playing ranked matches in Rocket League?
Yes, I play nothing but ranked matches in Rocket League.
Very cool.
Slowly getting my 3v3 rank. My goal is to try to get it up to at least silver, and I'm close. But I keep, you know, because I just queue as a solo. You're saddled with terrible teammates sometimes. So inch forward a little bit, and then I lose two matches in a row, and it drops me back. So. But I keep chipping away at that.
Do you guys watch that video of it's Rocket League, but with audio from like soccer matches?
I've heard of this video, but I've never watched it.
So it's like soccer league announcers like talking over the top of.
Is it Spanish language soccer league?
No. It's like English. It's like Premier. It's English. So they're like Premier League guys, and they're like talking. He's like he takes a blah, 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 he passes he just blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
tremendous magic goal.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's so freaking funny, and it like fits perfectly. Oh my god, it's so hilarious.
I watched the Major League Gaming. One of the Major League Gaming broadcasts online of the finals of 3v3 finals of some tournament they were putting on, and it involved like the two best players in the world on opposite sides, and the level of play involved in that was like blew my mind. I couldn't believe. I mean, they do aerial shit that I can't even fathom with the cars. It's just so crazy and fun that you know you could be capable of doing that stuff on this very simple game, but they just do astonishing things. It's really fun to watch.
That's why the game is so good, is because it comes down to there's the capability of skill, but it's
yeah
Well, there's chaos. Definitely a difference between the amateur players and right. the professional players.
There is so line. Much you could do with your car. There's the level of control that you have is very detailed and very well made.
Yeah, very cool.
So, you should. I'll try to find that video and send it to you guys. Yeah,
for sure.
Andrew,
well,
back to
my plate. I downloaded the Destiny 2.0 patch as well. Lots of changes to the base game. Just to tease a couple of them, Dinklebot is gone. They redid all of the dialogue for the ghost. So now it's Nolan North, and people are having mixed reviews about this new dialogue. They miss Dinklebot. They think, there's parts of it where they're like, Dinklebot was better than Nolan North's take on the ghost.
I've read different.
People really like it, and so there's other scenes where they're like, I like Dinklebot better, or how he did this part and did that part. I like it better. But
why did they get rid of Peter Dinklage? Did we know?
They cannot. Well, he's a huge movie star. They can't do ongoing dialogue with him because he doesn't have the time. So they got Nolan North, who's a voice actor. He's done voice stuff for lots of video games, and he can record ongoing ghost stuff. So there's now a consistent ghost narrator associated with the game.
Interesting.
They changed the interface for a lot of the characters in the tower, and it's now quests you can go on that guarantee you drops of weapons and armor. It's been very they basically remade the entire game. I leveled the
What's your light number?
My light number, Andrew, with all of my most powerful stuff is 163.
Okay.
I think the max light level right now is like 171.
Okay. I'm like 155.
This is my gripe. They just made it a new number.
But it makes more sense.
No, it doesn't.
It actually does.
It takes into account your weapon too, dude.
Yeah,
it made no sense.
The power of all of your gear.
Yeah,
you have a power level.
Yes. It makes much more sense.
It really does.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does.
And it's still based on how good your gear is. I mean, I do not have raid level armor, so I will never be max level for my power. You have to have raid level armor to be at max power, which is 171 right now. My max power is 163. And I have exotics equipped in different slots, and I still am not max power. Okay. So it still is raid gear is the best gear.
Hey, curious about this. When I logged in, they completed my quest for me. I have Thorn now.
You have if you had any active exotic quests, they auto-completed it.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're all becoming obsolete.
They are.
Oh, wow. Quest lines
for new exotics. I don't think the Thorn's getting carried through.
The Thorn was one of the hardest ones to get.
I couldn't get it.
I helped Zach get his, and that took forever.
I had to play – it forces you to play Crucible, and I hated that so much. You had to get a certain type of damage, right?
Right.
You had to get like arc kills or something. Void kills.
Void kill damage. Yeah. And it was like if you didn't have certain weapons, it was borderline impossible.
Brutal. Yeah. Exactly. You have to have an awesome void shotgun.
And you had to have like a positive kill KD spread all the time. Or all anytime time, you right? died, it would take it points away. Yeah. That was so hard.
That's why it made it the most coveted weapon in the game.
Yep.
Yeah. Because it was so hard to get.
Yeah, I helped Zach do the final part of that because you have to go kill what's his name?
You can't buy it from Xur. It was one of those quest lines where
I'll run around. I will run around with it tonight just to play around with it.
It's a really good hand cannon. It's one of the better ones for sure.
And I have the last word, which is an insanely fun hand cannon.
I like the last word and how quick it is, but it's very inaccurate. It's a spray and pray weapon for sure. And I think that hand cannons are the best when you can like shoot people in the face with them.
Well, and 2.0 was the weapon rebalancing patch. So there was some things that were nerfed about hand cannons, and there was buffs made to auto rifles across the board. So they're trying to get that sweet spot where how you play
all weapons are viable.
You can equip an auto rifle and still be competitive in Crucible, because the meta in Crucible for months was if you didn't have Thorn and you didn't have the Last Word, you weren't competitive. Mm. You just weren't.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What board games did you play? Tell me about that.
Board games when we were in Portland, we got introduced to Shane and Gabby, your partners in crime, two of our most loyal listeners, and we played a round of Castle Panic, which is extremely fun.
Yeah.
I had a great time playing Castle Panic. Very straightforward, kind of very simple gameplay rules. But with interesting kind of like interesting kind of gameplay dynamics, but very straightforward and a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So we played a round of that. How long did that round of that game take
us? It's about an hour.
How old do you have to be to play that?
I would say 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Kira could play it, you mean?
I think Kira could play it. Kira would get into it too, because there's basically a ticking clock. And the kind of the hit points and kind of the power level on certain is just straightforward. I mean, you have to get a certain number of hits on on the bad guys to keep them from wrecking your castle.
Right.
And you only have a certain number of turns to try to do this. And then you constantly are like reloading your enemies that are attacking. And then but their strategy in terms of like the attacks you can make and who can make attacks when, so it would be fun. She would enjoy it.
I definitely think I want to get the expansion for that game, because the orcs are fun, because the initial thing is like the orcs are attacking, but like the other one there's like dragons and there's all kinds of
would be fun.
Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy stuff to fight and new cards and. So eventually I will get the expansion for that game, because it's basically a never ending like dungeon what is it called, that kind of game where things come at you and
tower defense
it's a board game tower defense game, and it's so fun. But I definitely enjoy it. I was curious what you thought of it, Andrew, because you're not exactly like a board game person. And I'm like
that one. And I did not, maybe it was because I had many beers, but the second game we played was Settlers of Catan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was not into that game at all.
That maybe game is so fun.
Drunk. I just wasn't as invested. It didn't seem as, maybe it was just, yeah, it was probably was because I had many beers. Adria really liked it. She kind of we played as couples. Shane and Gabby were a couple. Pat and Tuesday were a couple, and Adria and I were a team, and we played against each other. Adria really got into it.
She kept you together. She kept you.
I was like not paying attention. I was just bullshitting and talking to people.
Yeah, Adria was actually. Andrew and I got a little inebriated while we were playing this game. So.
Yeah, we were. We did get definitely inebriated. Well, and dude, Shane and Gabby are like hyper competitive, dude.
Dude,
the two of them together,
they want to get they
want to destroy you.
This is what I'm talking about.
Body.
Yeah. They are. They want to win, and that's what I have to deal with all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
It's like, oh man, you guys are terrible. Not terrible,
they're not terrible, but
they take it very seriously.
Let's crush them.
Yes, exactly. So,
but it's a lot of fun. It was a great evening of drinking and playing board games in Portland. So it was a lot that night. Awesome. Thank you to Shane and Gabby for the hospitality, because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. I did play those board games with my brother also, but I also played a mobile game. It's called Dungeon Quest, and it's a dungeon crawler type game, and you like hop in and you play. You can pick like a three dungeon archetypes, a rogue or a wizard or a warrior, and then run around. And you only get one character for free. It's a free game. And you get one character for free, and then if you want like multiple characters, you have to buy extra slots. And but it's got kind of a cool little art style. The gameplay is kind of repetitive and button smashy, and you pick up new loot and you level up, and it's you know, top down dungeon crawler type game, but for your mobile. So it's got simple graphics, and it's kind of cartoony and fun. But I've been playing that a little bit, so I've enjoyed that. I also play a little. What did I play? What's the name of it? Dragon Age Inquisition. Back to that a little bit. Not very much, just a few hours of play, just to goof around. That game's okay, but not great. I think I hit a lull in Dragon Age because I've gotten to a certain level where it's really difficult to level up. And without that, like, without that carrot, you know, that's keeping me going, like, I've been level 8 for a really long time, it seems like. And I've done a lot of things, and I still haven't leveled. And it's probably been, like, 2 or 3 hours on level 8. And it's like, man, this is, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of gameplay, but you should just, like, instead of making it like level 20 is the cap, they should have just made it like level 100 is the cap, and I should be like level 35 right now. It's like, that's how I feel like it should be. That would help me, like,
oh dude, want this game more. Looks awesome.
The dungeon quest? It's so great.
Okay. I'm looking at it on my phone right now.
It's for Android. It's for Android and for iPhone. And it's a lot of fun. And there's like boss battles and there's like dungeons. I've done a few levels already, and it's pretty cool. It's just simple and fun, and
that's cool, man.
Yeah,
I'm loading it.
You should do it.
Play. You just like check the like app store for recommended games, or how did you hear about
this game? Well, on this one, I was looking at the app store and I was like scrolling through games, and I saw this one, and I think I was like searching like RPGs, or I searched like the word dungeon, and it came up, and then I just read reviews about it, and there was like a bunch of downloads, and I was like, huh, that looks cool. So I tried it out, and I've enjoyed it. So
cool.
There you go.
You're the mobile gaming guy. That's good.
Well, cool, you know, report. I'm not home as much as I'd like to be.
True.
So I kind of have to do something. But yeah, that's my.
I'm gonna check it out. I will report next time.
Awesome.
That's good.
Andrew.
Yeah.
What Star Wars trivia do you have for us leading up to the Force Awakens coming out?
The Force Awakens, which, and I will preface my my trivia with, is September 13th, and we're recording this, and The Force Awakens will be in theaters.
I love the countdown.
You gotta have a countdown. Force Awakens will be in theaters in 96 days.
96 days!
We are basically 3 months away.
Oh my god. I just heard R2 go crazy.
I know. It's awesome.
Okay, wow. Fantastic.
Thank you, Christopher, for punctuating that. That's awesome. Okay. For trivia, gentlemen.
Yes.
In Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace,
mm-hmm.
when a young Anakin Skywalker is brought before the Jedi Council, he is given a test. He is expected to essentially divine what images appear on a screen that he cannot see. What 4 images does Anakin divine from his Jedi Council test? And what order do they appear in?
What?
Oh, yeah. Do you guys remember? You guys remember the scene? I'm sure.
I'm remembering the scene, but I have no memory of the images.
Okay.
I am thinking. I'm trying to think back of this.
Pumpkin.
That's incorrect. Pumpkin is incorrect, Christopher.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, I'm blanking. Totally blanking on this scene.
Okay.
What are the 4 images?
What movie was this in?
Episode 1.
Oh, Phantom Menace. Why.
Yeah, I blocked that movie out, dude.
Yeah, I've blocked everything.
Well, you didn't block everything. You got the Doug from Malastare.
Obviously you remembered that piece of minutia.
Yes, I remembered that because that was my favorite part of that whole movie.
Oh, come on. The lightsaber battle between Obi-Wan and Darth Maul is pretty sick.
It's pretty good,
yeah. The four images that Anakin Skywalker divines from the screen that he cannot see during his Jedi Council test is a ship, a cup, the ship again, and a speeder. He completes all of that, and then Yoda proceeds to question him about how he feels. How feel you? And he says, I'm cold, sir.
Cold. Here's my reaction.
So stupid.
That's awesome.
Here's something Star Wars related that I'd like to bring up. The Star Wars Battlefront 3 is coming out for Xbox One. You guys should get that. Christopher should. It comes out, I think, in November.
I'm buying an Xbox One when Halo 5 drops in late October. Okay. I will have an Xbox One in late October.
Yeah, I'm super pumped about Battlefront, and I don't have a one yet, and probably won't for a while, so... You should get that, Christopher.
I will get it for the content of the show. I must do it.
That's one of my favorite games like ever. And
it was. I remember playing Battlefront. It was fun.
Oh my god, I love Battlefront so much. Yep. Well, they're doing 10-on-10 versus matches. Yeah. For space battles in this game.
Also on Hoth.
Well, but like. Like, they're going to be Star Wars ship battles with, flying, like, X-Wings and TIE fighters. PvP. So it'll be 10-on-10.
Dogfights.
It's a dogfight. It's in space, but then there's 10 AI on each team, too. So there's 20 ships, just 40 ships flying around each other, shooting at each other.
Insane.
And like, X-Wings and TIE fighters, and then there's just... I mean,
I got to get this game too.
Like, there's gameplay footage of the ship battles on YouTube that are insane looking.
Awesome.
You got to go check
that. Drop, Patrick?
I think it's November something. I'm blanking
I'll have
on the date.
Xbox One by then.
Halo comes out in October, right?
October 27th is Halo 5. So,
wow,
I will buy it. An Xbox One for Halo 5.
All right. So, yeah.
If
you'd like to help Andrew with this trivia, you can email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. November 17th is Star Wars Battlefront. If you'd like to email the show about questions, comments, you should email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should follow us on Twitter at... You should follow us on Twitter.
Okay.
Yes.
Patrick.
Wow, I'm getting derailed
Chris
here.
Is going to have fun with that all day.
brothers_geek@twitter.com. You should go to the website for all the podcasting things and other stuff. Brothersgeek.com. You should follow us on our new Facebook page, brothersgeek.com.
Yes.
Facebook/brothersgeek podcast.
Look for event announcements. We are going to start.
Yes. And we'll be posting. This episode will be posted on the new Facebook as well as other things. So you should follow us.
Share with your friends.
With your friends.
Yeah.
And boys.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday? Even Harrison Ford.
Yes. It's a law of the universe.
This is on this photo. Hopefully, Patrick, you put this photo on the website.
I have not yet, but I will.
Harrison Ford. Look for the photo on the website and the Facebook
page. People need to chill out, you included. It's like, yeah, we get it. You shot first.
Shot first. You heard it here. Now,
remember it.
Before, forever.
Okay, we're done.
Awesome.